Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, and 13, 18. Hear now the word of the Lord. Wisdom has built her house. She has honed her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Verse 13. The woman's folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Would you all pray with me? Gracious God, Lord, we thank you for our time of worship, to be gathered together to worship you in song, to worship you through the word, to worship you through offering, and to see, Lord, the wonderful works that you have done in a week of Vacation Bible School. So, Lord, now as we turn our attention to your word, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts, work in our minds, stir in us, reveal yourself to us, O Lord. Help us to encounter your presence as we encounter your word. Lord, we pray for the words that I speak. That will not be my own words. That will be words that come from you to communicate your word to us this morning, to this day. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going through a series through the book of Proverbs, and we're almost about the conclusion. Pastor Ken will be here next week, and he's going to close off our summer series through the book of Proverbs. So we've been really exploring the subject of wisdom. What is wisdom in the book of Proverbs? And if you were to sum up a statement, wisdom, what is wisdom in the book of Proverbs? It's basically, what is the skill for godly living? So we're going to be continuing to explore that subject, the skill for godly living. So in this passage this morning, there are three questions that this passage will answer for us, and it will make up our points for this morning. And the three questions are these. First one is, what do we need to understand about choosing wisdom or folly? The writer here is going to lay out two contrasting images, a personification, saying there's two women. One is woman wisdom, and one is woman folly. And he's going to lay out what do we need to know about choosing wisdom or folly? Because he's going to lay out these contrasts, and then he's going to say, we need to decide. We need to choose between wisdom and folly. So what do we need to understand? What do we need to know about choosing wisdom or folly? So that's the first one. Second is this. Why is understanding about wisdom and folly important? Or in other words, why does it even matter? So first, what do we need to understand about choosing wisdom or folly? Second, why is understanding about wisdom and folly important? Why does it even matter? And then lastly, what can we do today? What can we do today in light of what we know about wisdom and folly? So let's look at the first one. So the first one is this, point one. What do we need to understand about choosing wisdom or folly? And it's this, point one. Choosing wisdom or folly is about building a relationship with one or the other. Choosing wisdom or folly is not just about choosing one thing and then leaving it as it is, and then hopefully you'll become wise or you become foolish. It's not so much about that. There's a means to that. It's about building a relationship. It's about investing in a relationship with one or the other. And we're going to see that it's definitely one or the other. It's like, if you choose one, then you reject the other. If you reject one, then you choose the other. And this passage is going to invite us to be in a relationship with one or the other. And we begin to see this starting in verse 4 and 16. I invite you to look with me there. Chapter 9, starting verse 4. The writer says, whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. To him who lacks sense, she says, and then we'll go on to that later. But you jump down to verse 16. It's actually a repetition of what wisdom is saying. Now, folly is saying the same thing. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, and then she's going to go on to talk about that. But we'll get to that in a second. So here what we see in verses 14 and 16 is wisdom and folly are calling out to those who are simple, those who are naive, those who are simple-minded. And he's calling to them, both wisdom and folly are calling to them to turn their direction. They're in a direction, they're going on a path to turn direction towards them, either the path of wisdom or the path of folly. What we see here in verses 4 and 16 is, it's an eager invitation. It's an invitation from wisdom. It's also an invitation from folly to follow them, to invite them into their house. Basically, what's going on is wisdom and folly are like two different religions. They're like two different religions, two different worldviews, vying for our attention. Each saying that their path is the right way. Their path is the right path. Each saying that our path is the right path. Each saying that, each is asking for our devotion, of our commitment, that we need to decide between them. It's sort of like this as well. It's like when you're shopping at the mall, right? You're shopping at the mall, and then when you're kind of done shopping, you sort of walk through the mall. And then when you walk through the mall, you walk through past these stores. And then some of the stores, they actually have like a store associate that's like standing outside. And the store associate is like trying to invite you to say, oh, take these samples, right? Take the sample, try this out. Or, try this product. Come visit our store and try these products in the hopes that you'll buy the product. In the same way, wisdom and folly are doing the exact same thing. They're like the store associate that's standing outside the store trying to invite us, trying to sample a product, invite us in to try the product. They are like the worldviews and religious vying today, trying to vying for our attention, claiming to be the right path. But furthermore, wisdom and folly here, they're doing more than inviting. They're inviting us to do something very specifically. And we see this in verses 5 and 17. I invite you to look with me there. Verse 5 says, for wisdom says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. And then you jump down to verse 17. Folly says, stolen water is sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant. So what wisdom and folly are inviting us to do is, they're inviting us to dine with them. They're inviting us to have a meal with them. It's sort of like when you enter a restaurant. When you enter a restaurant, you decide to pick up your takeout order, or you decide to sit at a table for yourself. But then at the same time, when you were going there to pick up your takeout order or to have a table for yourself, what ends up happening is you sometimes maybe bump into a family member. Or at the same time, you bump into a close friend of yours. And then at the same time, when you bump into a close friend of yours or you bump into a family member, they want to invite you to their table. Right? They want to invite you to the table to eat with them, to dine with them. And then at that point, you have to decide. Right? You're going to dine with a close friend of yours, or you're going to dine with a family member. And this is what we see here happening in this text. We are invited. We are invited by wisdom and folly to dine with them. And going back to the example of a restaurant, if other people see you being invited by a family member or by a close friend to dine with them, that implies something. That implies a relationship. Right? No one just randomly invites you to sit with them, to dine with them, unless they know you, unless there's some sort of relationship. And this is what we see happening with wisdom and folly. Wisdom and folly is inviting us to dine with them, to invest in them, to have a relationship, to build a relationship with them. In Proverbs, whenever there's this imagery, like in this text, an imagery of dining, coupled with the idea that wisdom is a personification of God, or even God himself, it means that the attainment of wisdom begins with a relationship with God. On the other hand, to be foolish is to be in relationship with folly, who is the personification of all that is foolish. The more time you spend investing in and building your relationship with God, the wiser you become. The more time you spend investing in and building your relationship with folly, the more of a fool you will become. This morning, we have a choice before us. It is a choice to be either in a committed relationship with wisdom, that is likely God himself, or to be in a committed relationship with folly. So the question that I have for us this morning is, who would you want to have as a vital part of your life? We're all called here in this passage to make a choice, between wisdom and folly. But before we make that choice, the writer tells us why the understanding about wisdom and folly is important. Or in other words, why does it matter which one we choose? And that leads us to our second point. Why does it matter which one we choose? Point two, wisdom and folly have different destinations. Wisdom and folly have different results. Before the writer wants to tell us, okay, this is going, you need to make a decision now, but he wants to inform us of what kind of decision we're making. He wants to inform us that when we make a decision between wisdom, following the path of wisdom, or following the path of folly, there is a destination, there is a result. And we see it now in verse 6 and 18. Look at verse 6 first. What does wisdom say? Verse 6 says, "Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight." Basically, wisdom here, he's speaking, the writer probably is recording this. He's making a command, right? He's issuing a command, leave your simple ways, leave your naive ways, leave your way of ignorance, and live. Live fully, live abundantly, and walk in the way of insight. Walk in the way of understanding. Live in the way of understanding. Wisdom here is inviting us to that. He invites us to dine with him, dine with her, technically, because it's a Hebrew grammatical gender of feminine, to dine with her and to leave our simple ways, leave our naive ways, leave a way of ignorance, and truly live, truly partake of everything that's of wisdom and live, and to walk in the way of understanding, walk in the way of insight. So wisdom here, when we follow it, when we choose it, it results in understanding. It results in life. But you look at verse 18, what is the result of folly? Right? Verse 18 says, the writer of Proverbs says, "But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol." Here, the writer of Proverbs gives us a conclusion in regards to folly, if we were to choose the way of folly, choose the way of foolishness. And it comes down to, it's basically our destruction, our death, our grave. And so we see that folly here, the writer of Proverbs, folly here, it results in simplicity, because if we look at the way of folly in terms of this woman, she is simplistic, she is very simple-minded. But we also see in verse 18, it comes down to it's our own destruction. It's about going to the grave, it's about death. It leads to that. In a sense, the writer of Proverbs is like functioning like a tour guide, who is presenting us the options of which path to take and giving us the heads up, in terms of where each path leads to, where each path actually ends. One ends in life, in insight, in life. The other one ends in simplicity, ignorance, and death. It is often said that life is like a journey, right? We're all in this life together. We're all on a journey. We're all on a path. And so I think the question that this text now comes to us and asks is, where do you want your journey in life to end up? Do you want your journey in life to end up in a place where you're growing in insight, where you're living life to the full? Or do you want your journey in life to end up in a place of death, in a place of simplicity, in a place of ignorance? And so we've seen so far that choosing wisdom or folly is about building a relationship. It's not just about, at the end of it, one has become wise, one is foolish. But there's a means to that. And the means to that is how we invest in a relationship, how we build into that relationship with either wisdom or folly. We've also seen that our choice of wisdom and folly is important because the results. Right? There's the result of life, if you were to choose wisdom. But then there's the result of death, if we were to choose folly. And the fact that they are so different makes the choice all that much more important. It means we have to be aware of that and be cautious about that. And so we come to our last point. What can we do today in light of what we know about wisdom and folly? In light of what we know about wisdom and folly, in light of the fact that we've gone through a series so far in Proverbs about wisdom, what can we do in light of what it means to live skillfully, to live in such a way that it's a skillful life, a godly life? So point three is this. We can recognize that wisdom is built on work, while folly is built on shortcuts to work. We're going to see in verses 1 to 3 and also verses 13 to 15 that first, wisdom has amount of work. There's an amount of preparation involved with wisdom. But then when you compare it to folly, that's not so much the case. Folly in verses 13 to 15 didn't require so much work, doesn't require so much preparation. It's, in a lot of ways, it's like a shortcut. And we're going to see wisdom and folly, they have two different purposes in mind. And they show like differences in their personality. So let's look at verses 1 to 3 first. 1 to 3 says, "Wisdom has built her house. She has honed her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young woman to call from the highest places in the town." So basically the writer of Proverbs is basically saying this. This is the work of wisdom. This is the work that the wisdom is putting forward. Is building her house, right? Getting ready for her guests. She's putting together her house. She's constructing it. And not only is she constructing this house is a completed perfect house. Because it says it has seven pillars, right? You know, in the Bible, seven is a number of completeness, of perfection. So this house is not only constructed by herself, she has established it on seven pillars. She has prepared all the food. She has prepared all the wine. She has prepared the tables for everyone to be ready for guests to come into her house and to be seated and to partake. She's showing her investment in this banquet. This is like a banquet that's happening in her home, and she's showing an investment in her banquet. The image here is like a grandmother. It's like a grandma who at her house, she's preparing for Lunar New Year dinner or preparing for Thanksgiving dinner. And she has all the food ready. She has all the drinks ready. And all she asks of you is to bring yourself and to bring your grandchildren because she has everything all set. She's inviting you into her home to be her guest, to partake of all the food that she has prepared, all the drinks that she has prepared, all the preparation, all the decoration, and just everything to be well seated and to be able to partake together. That's what Lady Wisdom here is like. And she's inviting us to that. But what is this imagery of food, right? Of eating, of this meal, what is it pointing to? Because we look at Hebrew poetry, when there's an imagery of like this, it's pointed to something, it's referring to something. So in light of what the writer of Proverbs has discussed in the last 8 chapters, a life lived by God's will, a life that's the skill for godly living, it requires us to partake of the teachings of wisdom. It requires us to do the work of seeking after it, pursuing it, studying it, and embracing it. The imagery is pointing to the work that's required to attain wisdom. Wisdom is built on work. It doesn't come by us just sitting around, waiting to be spoon-fed the teachings of wisdom. We have to go after it. We have to seek after it, pursue it. But then what about folly? So we looked at wisdom, but what about folly? How is it that folly is built on shortcuts to work? And we see that in verses 13 to 15. I invite you to look with me there. Verses 13 and 15. This is how the writer of Proverbs describes folly. "The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way." So we hear the writer of Proverbs, he does not tell us that folly has really prepared anything at her house. Right? The focus on here now is pretty much on her character. She has not done much of anything in comparison to wisdom, but instead the focus turns to her being loud, right? Verse 13 says she's loud, or another translation is she's boisterous. Commentators say that this points to her speech or the way she talks, that she's a loud woman. She is seductive, right? Which could also be translated that she is a gullible woman. She's very simple-minded. And she's also morally ignorant, right? She also says in verse 13, she knows nothing. And then when she speaks, she will say things that lack meaning, that seem to be meaningless or even be harmful. Not having prepared much for her guests, she sits as if she has finished everything, as if she has prepared much. Maybe it's an indication of laziness. And then she calls out to those who are unwary, those who are simple-minded, those who are ignorant, those who are just, in another translation, New Living Translation, who are minding their own business. And she invites them into her home. The purpose of folly here is to lead us into ignorance, to lead us into simple-mindedness, which mimics pretty much her lifestyle. Her work is actually very minimal, very small, very minimal. She basically appeals to temptation. She is like the deceiving woman that we've seen before, in previous chapters. She appeals to temptation and sin in our lives. And though they may be pleasurable to indulge at first, they lead ultimately to our destruction. Folly presents a shortcut. Folly says, you don't need to do all this work. Just come into my house. Just come to my house. You know, I'll give you your own basic sinful temptation instinct. I'll satisfy that for you, and you'll be all set. It's another way. It's like the easy way out. But as we see in verse 18 here, that type of easy way out, that type of falling, of giving into our sin in our lives, temptation, it leads to death. It leads to our destruction. So if you want the skill for godly living, if you want to live life that's by the will of God, recognize that you have the opportunity. You have the opportunity to partake of the teachings of wisdom. You have the opportunity to do the work, do the hard work that's presented for you, that's offered to you. Do the work of pursuing it, studying it, embracing it, so that you can gain that skill. However, if you want to be morally ignorant, if you want to be simple-minded and remain to be naive about life, then folly welcomes you to that as well. Folly welcomes you to take the shortcut through life, but then to know that it ends in your destruction, and that's the warning. Friends, this text ends inviting us. We have to make a choice to know that there's wisdom, to know there's folly, to know there's something as being wise, as being foolish, is not enough. We have to decide between whether we're going to follow, which path we're going to be on. Wisdom, the path of wisdom, or the path of folly. The text does not give us an option to say, I want to be neutral, I don't want to be on the middle ground. Proverbs does not give us that. You reject one, then you choose the other. You choose one, then you reject the other. Sadly, I think many people reject wisdom. I think many people reject the skillful way of life, the godly way of life. The path, and what they end up doing is they end up landing on the path of folly. Because they think that they can reject one thing and then just be neutral, but it doesn't work that way. When you reject wisdom, you end up on the path of folly that leads to death. But there is the gospel. The gospel calls us to embrace Christ. The gospel calls us to embrace Christ, who we know in 1 Corinthians, Paul written in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that he is the wisdom of God. He is the wisdom, he is the power of God. Even in this passage, when you look at verses 1 to 3, how wisdom, she has done all this work, in some ways it reflects of what Christ has done for us, of all the work that he has done for us. Was he not the one who bore our sin? Was he not the one who died on the cross? Was he not the one who was risen from the dead? He did all that work, just like wisdom has done all the work, so that we might know God, so that we may actually attain wisdom, so that we actually live a skillful life, a godly life. So friends, I invite you, as this text invites us today, see the results and choose wisdom. Choose the path of wisdom. Choose the work. Choose the hard work of pursuing it, of embracing it and studying it. so that you may live life to the full, live life skillfully. Let's close in prayer. Gracious God, Lord, we thank you for your word, the beauty of your word. There's just so much to unpack. And Lord, we thank you through this series of Proverbs that it helps us to explore skillful living, the skill of godly living. What does it mean to live life of your will, by your will? And so Lord, as we go forth here from today, may we not just set this aside, set this type of wisdom aside. May we be people who make a conscious decision to be in relationship with you, to grow in wisdom, to pursue wisdom. Lord, I pray that we realize that we cannot attain wisdom apart from you. The source of true wisdom, godly wisdom, flows from you. So Lord, I pray for all of us here that we work hard. That we work hard to strengthen our relationship with you. Work hard to build our relationship, to invest in relationship with you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.